All right. I am here with Brad Schultz, guitarist extraordinaire. And we were just walking along the Strand here, beautiful day in San Diego, getting ready for your set in a couple of hours, 94.9 Independence Jam. Everybody wants to know, tell me a little bit about the new record.
Well, the people that are attending tonight, they're going to get to hear it. Everyone else, never.
Never.
Ever.
But that's not true, because on October 8th...
Never ever until October the 8th.
So yeah, tell me, October 8th is your release date. Your record is called Mellophobia.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't look it up. What does mellophobia mean?
Mellophobia is the fear of music. And I don't think we really use it as a album title in a literal sense, like that we, you know, literally fear music, but it's more just the you know, like the bastardizing music with just an image of what you want to project. And you know, there's a lot of pretentiousness in music nowadays, and a lot of music, it seems like, is being made to be, you know, the cool kid or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's what Mellophobia is, a reference towards that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you're not going for the pretentious music. You guys have really strong roots on, you know, rock, authentic music derived from your strong stage presence. What were you hoping to achieve with this record? Not message. I don't want to get all philosophical on you, but what, you know, what's the purpose of this record other than just giving us another set of awesome songs?
I mean, you know, lyrically, I can't really speak for Matt because he writes all the lyrics. But musically, our intentions are just to, you know, kind of, you know, fight against that pretentiousness and try to, you know, craft well-written songs that we love and that, you know, projects what we love about music and our interpretation of music, you know? And so, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of our goal musically.
Yeah.
Lyrically, I think Matt, you know, he wants to be as honest as he possibly can in what he says. And so, you know, anything deeper about his lyrics, I can't speak for him.
I'll have to chase him down later.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask him.
What does this mean?
What does this mean? Lyric number 17. So you touched upon a little bit on the writing process. Matt comes up with the lyrics first, second. Do you guys all work together?
It happens in different times. You know, we were kind of awarded a bittersweet opportunity this album to write without anyone. You know, like we all wrote individually without even kind of talking to the other band members, and then when we all got into a room together, kind of forced all those little parts together, and they kind of formed the songs.
So as opposed to previous albums where you were hanging out in the same room, or maybe three of you contributed primarily to one song or another, or
exactly. And you know, it happens in different ways. You know, Matt might have, you know, partially finished song. I might have a partially finished song, you know, and then like I said, we mash a lot of our songs together.
Yeah.
And try to, you know, I think it creates kind of a unique dynamic within some of the songs to just put two totally different songs that kind of mesh in a not so obvious way.
Yeah.
You know? So
we'll have to take a listen, I guess.
Yeah, yes,
I've been catching a little bit of the music. Yes, I know. So excited. So
that's
2 weeks away?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many of those songs will we hear tonight, mostly?
We're going to play Spiderhead, which is a new song. That's the first song in the new album. And we're going to play It's Just Forever. We're going to play Teeth. Mm-hmm. We're going to play Come a Little Closer.
That's a great song, by the way. Come a Little Closer.
Thank you so much.
I don't know, when I first heard it, I was like, what does this remind me of? Because I'm that kind of a person. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What does this remind me of? And I couldn't put my finger on it, so that was kind of lovely.
Yeah, yeah. We like to try to stump people.
Very good. I like it. So you have a few more tour dates coming up in the U.S., Seattle, Milwaukee, Chicago, and then you go to the U.K. What do you like best about touring?
Just the experience, the human interaction between, you know, people worldwide, you kind of get this, at first you get this sense of that everybody has, you know, different cultures and stuff, and they do, mm-hmm. but people are so much, more similar than you even, realize on a subconscious level, mm-hmm. And I think just going around and experiencing, just different people and different, human interactions has made, had the biggest impact on me.
Yeah, that sounds great. What was I going to ask you? Okay, so you guys lived in the UK for a little while, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken,
2 years.
2 years ago.
We lived there for two years.
For 2 years, okay.
Yeah, back in, I think we moved there late 2006.
What part of England?
Far East London.
Okay.
So we didn't live in the best part of town, but it was one of the best experiences yeah. that I could ever ask for in life.
It, yeah.
Helped, just really gave me a new perspective on not only life, but gave us a new perspective on music too, because uh-huh. we were experiencing so much that we hadn't been exposed to yet.
Right.
We were from a town of like 35,000 people,
yeah.
and moved to a city of 8 million where there's literally 10 shows a night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
So did you go for partly a musical, not education, but a personal musical quest?
I don't know if it was that well thought out. Mm-hmm. We thought it was enticing, the whole, moving to London.
Why not?
Like, you hear about bands like, Jimi Hendrix, and you hear about, just all kinds of bands in the U.S. that... did it in the UK first, and right. And plus we've always kind of been obsessed with underground punk music of like the late 70s and stuff, and early 80s, and even bands like Gang of Four from mm-hmm. the UK and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was enticing, but I don't think we were like we're gonna go and change our lives.
Right.
It was just like. It was kind of like just jump 2 feet at a time and jump in without, kind of asking questions.
That sounds good. I'm a huge Anglophile. I'm a huge, England fan. Mm. I love everything about England. As a matter of fact, the other day I read a post, on Gawker or something, on 10 things that British people love about America. But then in the comments section, there were a lot of things that, people saying, these are the 10 things that Americans love about the British. And so I was able to come up with 15 things I love. So I want to ask you, what are your two top three or four things that you love about England?
I don't know. I mean, I think the people go absolutely crazy at shows, and they uh-huh. just go for it.
Nice.
I've never seen people congregate at a festival that constantly rains uh-huh. the whole weekend,
right?
And not even give never.
Well, they don't care about rain. I mean, it rains all the time.
Exactly, and everybody's just walking out, just having a good time.
Rain, you would totally see us all flee here. Yeah. If it started raining right now, we'd be like, "See you later." We'd be in our cars.
Yeah, exactly. Peace. I'd do the same thing.
Yeah. But these are some of the ones I came up with. James Bond. We love that.
Yeah.
Paddington, right?
The English accent. It's just kind of has a. Any English person, no matter what they did, they could be like the most uneducated English
right.
person could come over here and say a couple sentences and right. just swoon people.
Absolutely.
He's English.
That is awesome. That is so cool. Let's see. Let's get back to the show for today. Since you're headlining, but you're sharing the stage with a couple of other bands before mm-hmm. you. Do you guys prepare differently for a show like this? Maybe a different set list, or maybe just a different way to attack.
We added some songs mm-hmm. Into the set list, but I don't know. We enjoy to play, so we don't really try to overthink it too uh-huh. much. We just, uh-huh. I think when you start trying to do all the come up with special things to do during, it's starts to become gimmicky a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
And so, we add songs because there's longer to play.
Right.
And we like to do that.
Yeah.
We like to play for longer. It's never fun to have a 30-minute or a 45-minute set and right when you're hitting the groove, you're getting off the stage.
Yeah, you're like, one more song. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll do that kind of stuff, but... if if Matt does crazy shit, like wear dresses and stuff that he's done in the past, it's usually like on a whim where he's just like, I'm going to wear a dress.
Why not? He wears them well, by the way. Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. They fit him really well. I'm actually a little jealous there. Speaking of these short sets, I saw you guys open up for the Foo Fighters. You've also opened up for Stone Temple Pilots, I believe, mm-hmm. Silver Sun Pickups.
Mm-hmm. Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that was our first tour ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, back in 2006. It was crazy.
So out of those bands, were there any of them that, you know, you became like good pals with, there was a good vibe, or your personalities?
We've became good friends with most of every band that we've toured with. And that, I think that's another, you know, blessing about being able to do this. Yeah. You know, it kind of falls hand in hand with what I was saying about human interaction, you know. You meet all these people you would have never met in your whole life and to have different conversations and stuff. But, you know, we became really good friends with the Black Keys. Mm. We ended up, like, having a soccer match.
Nice. Who won?
After,
you guys won.
No, they beat us.
Really?
We had, like, three of them. We beat them once, but Dan didn't tell us, and he supposedly played high school soccer.
Oh, that's so not fair.
He was murdering us out there.
Did like either you or Jared or like did any of you play like soccer?
No,
as
our
kids?
Tour manager back then did. He was an English guy.
The total should have been like times two right there. That was like
exactly. But all of us were so horrible that it didn't matter, you know.
So Dan didn't tell you. That's sneaky.
Yeah, it's sneaky.
What can you challenge them at, like, next time? You'll be like, hey, why don't we play ping pong? And then you can totally cream them. Like, would there be, like, think about that and see if we can come up with something.
Look, I'd be like, let's play ping pong. And then I'd get creamed in that, too. Yeah. I'd be like, what the?
That is hilarious. Well, one thing I wanted to ask Matt, I'll have to chase him down later, is I was at your Foo Fighter show, like, 2 years ago. And, of course, he stage dives. Of course, he's famous for that. I wanted to ask him, like, how he chooses the spot to land on. Because he sized up my friend and I, and he, like, totally passed this over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, my skinny little arms can hold you. No,
just. I don't know how he does it. I think he does it to the side of the crowd that's getting the craziest,
good.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he really thinks about it. He's just like, it's kind of in the moment kind of thing.
That is awesome. I wanted to ask you, who are you guys listening to right now? Either just you, and then also, what form of music do you like to listen to? Do you like vinyl, MP3s, Spotify?
I listen to most stuff on either like iTunes downloads or vinyl.
Okay.
I've been getting into a lot of the Nashville bands.
Mm.
A band called Bad Cop. A band called Plastic Visions, a band called Fly Golden Eagle, a band called Ranch Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a good underground scene happening in Nashville right now that's freaking phenomenal. Another band called Clear Plastic Masks.
That sounds good.
And it's really cool, like garage stuff, but that has like a pop tinge to it. That like so it. I don't know. It's kind of really unique, you know.
That sounds good. There was a Nashville band that came by here last week, the Wild Feathers. They were more like Southern Rock.
Oh, yeah,
rock.
Ricky Young and the Wild Feathers.
Yeah, Southern Rock. They were good. They played on a boat, and they played at the House of Blues. And
yeah.
Nice guys. Well, that sounds good. Okay, so this is something that I usually do with bands, but it's good. I don't know. Tell me if you're going to go for it, because there's usually like two or three people or five people. Mm. But we play this game called Majority Rules, where I name off like 10 random bands, and then we say yay or nay. But see, you're the only one here, because usually people can hide their votes, and then that way, nobody knows that you hate like David Bowie or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't really judge music.
No,
that way
that's true.
At
that's
all.
Good.
But I mean,
okay, just look at my list.
I'll just say yeah at all of them.
Okay, majority of these 10 bands, pretty good or not so great?
Yeah, I like them all. I like them all.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just point to the one you like best, and I won't tell anybody.
All right.
Just for my own
personal. The one that I like the best?
Yes, out of these 10. Interesting.
I'll let you know. Neil Young.
Neil Young.
Out of this list would be Neil Young.
Very nice.
And
did you listen?
I actually
to
have a lot of respect for Eminem as a in the whole hip hop world, and I get into that shit too.
Yeah.
Like, I dig it. Like, I think the way he fits words into beats is fucking genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely was a big, you know, force.
And then, Bjork is, Bjork is Bjork.
Bjork is, exactly.
She's her own thing, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash is a legend. Grateful Dead, they helped bring psychedelic music to the forefront.
Yeah.
Freaking, Beastie Boys.
Who doesn't love the Beastie Boys?
Exactly. Beck, same thing.
AC/DC. Actually, the Beastie Boys, I was making this mental list the other day when I was driving around of like bands that I've never seen play live that I'm not going to ever get to see that I'm really bummed out about. And like Beastie Boys was like one of them. I mean, Nirvana, another
one. I got to see them at Bonnaroo.
Nice.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
But it made me sad. I like came up with like five or six bands that I was like, I'll never get to see them because I can't. But anyway, Brad, I want to say thank you so much
for this interview.
It was a pleasure to meet you. I'm looking forward to your set. Parting words.
Parting words. Well, it's been a good life.
Do you want to see that?